You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to be going through the Word of God. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we are talking about the things that God wants to teach us. And I want to take just a moment to invite you out on Wednesday night. Actually, a lot of churches, their Wednesday night attendance is just a fraction of what it is on Sunday morning. There are some Wednesday nights where our attendance is more on Wednesday. Our attendance on Wednesday night is more than what it was on Sunday morning. And that just messes with everybody's paradigm and everybody's normal. But we are going through the Gospel of John chapter 7. Well, not John chapter 7. We've gone through John chapter 7. We'll be, you know, a little bit later than that. And so if you would love to come out, it's not fluff and stuff. It is the meat of the word. And we try and produce a study guide and take you through it on that. The study guide thing is all about my time, whether I have time to produce that study guide or not. This is not a Bible study that's already in production. It is a work in progress. So that starts 7 p.m. tonight, runs from 7 to 8. We would love to have you come and be a part of that. So today we are going back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading verse 22. And we will read on down through the end of the chapter. That should give us more than enough material to chew on today. So, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I turn my page here. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So before we went on the air here, Danny and I were having a conversation, and I said what I meant, but it didn't come out exactly the way that I intended it for it to come out. And so we had a good chuckle here, and I said, I'm sure this is going to be a great broadcast here if my words will cooperate with what I'm intending for them to say. So if I say something wrong this morning, just show a little grace, and we'll get through this. And if I mess up, I'll laugh at myself and you can laugh along with me. Verse number 22, we're talking about what Timothy should be pursuing. We talked about some of the things that he was to flee. There are three action words here. There is fleeing, there is pursuing, and there is avoiding. And so he says to Timothy here, pursue righteousness. We talked about that is the opposite of lawlessness. And it's not just a lawlessness of man's law. It is lawlessness of God's moral law. Therefore, righteousness would be pursuing a lifestyle of obedience to the moral law of God. It also talks about faith, and we talked about pursuing faith, that God gives us the measure of faith, but we should be pursuing, growing in that faith, building ourselves up in our most holy faith. And now today we talk about building or pursuing love. And the Greek word here is agape. It's indicative of the love of God, the unconditional love of God. It is the highest form of God's love. It's the highest form of love. And, you know, there's a lot of people in society, they get lust and love confused. If you remember, I talked about in an earlier broadcast that we should be a culture of honor, because this instruction to Timothy says that he is to pursue being a vessel of honor or a container of honor. And in our modern society, there are many people who think, well, if I love someone, I can just go ahead and move in with them, and then I don't have to wait for the covenant relationship and all of that. And I want you to know that that is an act of dishonor. And from what people have studied and measured, it is one of the leading indicators of a relationship that will fail. It doesn't mean that every relationship like that ends up failing, but a lot of them do, a much larger percentage of them. And it's because it not only dishonors the other person, but it dishonors God. It sets aside God's moral law and tries to establish a law of its own, and that type of law will always be inferior. And here's what I say. If a person dishonors God, don't be surprised if they dishonor you. And much of society is set aside God and lives a lifestyle of dishonoring God, and then they're amazed when people are dishonorable in other relationships. That's not a surprise. I make a statement. Don't be surprised when sinners act like sinners. So here, as a child of God, we do not pursue the same things that the world does. We pursue a lifestyle of love. Many times when you're newly married, you're in love, and you know, you can sing that old Beatles song, "All We Need Is Love," and it takes about 30 days until that first rent payment is due, and the electric bill is due, and the water bill is due, and you got to buy groceries, and all of a sudden you discover, I'm going to need a few things besides love. Love is not all you need, but you do need love. But you and I, were once we have a commitment of love, we continue to grow in that love. We continue to develop and understand what the person likes, what they don't like, what their schedule is. You know, the longer you live with someone, the more of their imperfections you might see, and things like that. But if we maintain the pursuit and say, you know what, you end up getting to the place where a lot of couples, and as a young person, I never understood it, but as a person that's not so young anymore, I do, where they would say, "I love you more now than I ever have." And, you know, if you find that, then you say, you know what, I'm going to keep on pursuing them. So many times people who find a person and they love them. There's an erroneous term. They fall in love. You don't fall in love. It is a commitment. Many people don't understand that. Love is a commitment. It's also a decision. It involves you emotionally. It involves you physically. It involves you spiritually and financially. It involves your time. And it's not the finish line. It's the lifestyle. So many people stop pursuing their spouse when they become their spouse. And that's not the way that it is supposed to be. You're supposed to continue to be growing in your relationship with love in the body of Christ. It's not just a marriage love relationship, but it is a love for God. It is a love for your family. I'm going to put this in the same order that we do for being a blessing, where we bless God, bless family, bless the church, bless the community. You love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your family, and you love His church, and you love reaching the lost. So I got a friend of mine. He's going to be preaching at Merit Assembly of God here on let me see if I can figure out what the date is there real quick. He's going to be preaching for me on February the 16th. And he has a love for the lost. He has all of those loves. He loves his wife. He loves his kids. He loves God, loves the ministry, but he loves the lost. And if you're in the area, you do not have a church home, he is a phenomenal person. He's a phenomenal friend. And I would invite you to Merit Assembly of God. I will not be there. He will be. I don't just go off and leave the pulpit that God has entrusted to me, in questionable hands. I leave it in very good hands, and, it's going to be a great, great time. I would recommend coming to hear him. He's going to be teaching Sunday school at 9:30. He's going to be preaching at 10:30. And then I'll be back a couple of days later. So anyway, we're supposed to be growing in that love. It's a lifestyle. It's something that we understand is a priority. Having love for one another, Jesus said, would be a mark of distinction. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So, Timothy, pursue love. Also, he tells him to pursue peace. And the Greek word here is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word for shalom, where it means a state of well-being. It means wholeness. It means soundness in every area of life. Pursuing peace means much more than just an absence of conflict. Many couples I know live and they don't live with peace in the house. There are seasons where they are not experiencing moments of hostility towards one another in an emotional sense, or one of the things that moments of intense fellowship may not be taking place, but they really don't live at peace because they are not living in unity and harmony with one another. Those are more episodes than they are lifestyle. And that's not what God has called us to. He has called us to a lifestyle of well-being. I want you to journey with me into the future. Oh, we won't go far. We'll just go 100 years. Maybe we'll go 150 years in case some babies are listening and they live to be over 100. 150 years from now, and you're in heaven, you are going to have perfect peace. You are going to have perfect soundness of in every area of your life, because none of the problems of this world are going to be able to exist in the atmosphere of a perfect heaven. You're going to experience soundness spiritually and purpose, and your mortal body will have become immortal. Your corruptible body will be incorruptible. Your mental faculties will never have been clearer. There will not be any miscommunications, any misperceptions. It is going to be no mortgage payment. So you're going to be sound. It's going to be like that for all of eternity. So our goal is to pursue that type of lifestyle on earth that we're going to experience in heaven. In the book of Isaiah, it says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed upon you. And so one of the ways that we experience that shalom is we think every thought in relation to how God would have us to think. So last night I had taken a walk, and as I was walking, I realized that we needed to create an environment in our mind that is toxic to ungodliness. I've through the years I've done a lot of preparation for garden type areas that I've had, and I would put the weed block down, and I would put one point in time I had lava rock, and then I've had mulch, and I would go in there and I would make sure that I did everything that I could to prevent weeds from growing in there, because I didn't want them there. I wanted plants that looked respectable. And within a short period of time, there were weeds growing there, because either the wind would blow the seeds of the weed, the birds would drop it, something would happen, maybe grass seed would, you know, grow up over the block that I had set up there as a barrier, whatever it might be. I don't have that problem anymore, thanks to Treasure Your Landscape, but it would somehow find that the undesirable plants would still find a way to grow in an area I did not want them to grow in. And I think the same thing happens to us with our thought processes, where if we're not careful, a seed of a thought can be planted in there, and if you don't deal with it immediately, it begins to take root, and it begins to spread out, and it begins to influence a greater and greater area. And if left unchecked, pretty soon you will not be able to distinguish the protected area from the unprotected area. Well, we don't want that in our mind. We want our minds to be stayed on the things of God. And so we have to take every thought captive. We have to bring it into subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we need to do that with the concept of if my mind is renewed the way that God renews my mind, and I keep it fixed on the Word of God and the God of the Word, then my thought life is not going to be a fertile place for ungodly thoughts. Instead, it will be a place where godliness and godly thinking can take place instead. So, one of the best ways to pursue peace, and this is what Paul writes to Timothy, is that you do not pursue it alone. You do not pursue it alone. There are a lot of times that people say, you know, the only way I can have a decent conversation is with myself. Well, that's not true. You might have an echo chamber there, but it's not going to be the greatest conversation. You need to surround yourself with other people. And so when Jesus sent out the disciples, he rarely sent them out alone. He would send them out in pairs. And there's accountability there. Well, the best way to pursue peace, the best way to pursue righteousness and faith and love is not to do it by yourself, but to do it as a community of believers. So you pursue peace with those. Okay? You need people that say, you know, that may not be the best way to go about this. And if somebody is trying to tell you those things and they don't have relationship with you, it's not going to be received well. But if you know that everyone is pursuing the same objectives, then you're going to say, you know what? The Christian life works so much better in community. Okay? So I could quote this verse to you. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That's in the book of Hebrews. But even more so as the day of the Lord approaches. You and I, you can have a relationship with God all by yourself, but it's not the best way. I have a friend, he lived overseas as a missionary, still travels overseas as a missionary. And he said, when you are on the mission field and you live in a culture that is anti-Christian, maybe not philosophically, but they're anti-Christian as far as lifestyle, he said, you realize that the brothers and sisters in Christ that you do have over there, even if they are missionaries from another fellowship, you may not agree on every theological point, but you believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. He said, you know what you find? You find that you need one another over there. And there is so much fragmentation here in America that we think we can do without one another, and God really wants us to discover that we cannot thrive without one another. And so it's not a punishment to have to go to church. It is a privilege that we get to go to church. And so it's a whole lot easier to achieve the goal when everyone is working together. Another one of the statements that I say is that I do not see how people exist without a community of believers, without a church. So we've given our life to the ministry. You know, I'm in my 60s. Hopefully I sound younger than that. But I'm in my 60s. I've lived my life helping people who were hurting. And I've also lived my life blessing people and being blessed by people. So when we first came to Florida, we were on, we just came because my job brought me here. But when we were asked to come, we prayed and said, God, you've called us into the ministry. You've not called us to sell shoes. I will sell shoes as long as you want me to, but God, I need you to provide a place of ministry. And there was a season of overlap that existed for roughly, you know, 5 years after we got to Florida, maybe closer to six, actually. And it was, God gave us the grace for that season. So we went to church where we were, where we had come from was very country. There wasn't really a need to lock your car. There weren't that many people around that wanted to steal your car. There were more cows than people. So we came here, and all of a sudden it's a different area. So we go into church one Sunday morning, we lock our car, and we come back out, and somebody broke into our car. But instead of, and it wasn't a, not, it wasn't a fancy car. It was a car that was, let's see, it was 12 years old, 13 years old. So it wasn't really a nice car. It was the only one that we had, and came in, somebody broke into it. But instead of taking stuff out, they put stuff in. And we appreciated it, because when we got here, we found out that we had a hard time cashing a paycheck to be able to pay for the rent and all that sort of stuff, because the bank that we had where we came from didn't have a branch here. It was a small little small town bank. So the next week, we had learned our lesson. So we went to church and we locked the door again. And when we came out, somebody had broke into our car again and filled it with a 5-gallon bucket of laundry detergent and an ironing board. And that season at that church with those saints really did strike home to us in a way that we had never really experienced before. You don't have to do life by yourself. So if you're going to follow Paul's instructions and you're going to pursue righteousness and you're going to pursue faith and you're going to pursue love and you're going to pursue peace, make sure you do it with a community of believers that are all chasing the same thing. Long time ago, there was a guy by the name of Tommy Tenney. As far as I know, he's still alive. And he wrote a book called The God Chasers. And it wasn't singular, it was plural. That there are people who are literally in passionate pursuit of God and all that he has for us. And, you know, there's a verse that says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You see, everything that we're talking about there, righteousness, faith, love, and peace, all of those are things that come from a relationship with Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes, he brings all of the goodness of God with him. He brings his entire entourage of blessings. Let's pursue him together. And let's watch him establish his throne right here in Brevard County. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.